Welcome to The Truth Simply Put, the teaching broadcast vehicle of the Basilea Commission. On today's teaching, God's Word, rightly divided in the light of Christ, who is the central theme of the entire scriptures, will come with simplicity, precision, clarity, and power to instruct, admonish, edify, and build you up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, let's dive straight in.
So we're just going to look this afternoon what is titled Eternal Life, Assurance Beyond Probability. See, I know I'm going ahead of myself, but if you're not assured that you are saved, there's a problem, because there is nothing in this world that can guarantee you assurance that the assurance we have in Christ Jesus about our salvation. Our God will finish what he started. Eternal life, assurance beyond probability. So the first statement Paul have made is, if you are not convinced about your salvation, something is fundamentally wrong. It doesn't matter what we preach to you, it will be of no benefit or no effect to you if you are not assured that, yes, I am saved. There is no probability in the gospel. Tell someone by your side, there is no probability in the gospel. So the gospel is not something that you, is it true? Is it not true? There is no probability in the gospel. For anyone who has heard the gospel, for anyone who has heard the gospel and he has believed, there is no probability. Do you know why? Two statements Paul said. God cannot give what he does not have. God cannot give what he doesn't have. Statement one. Statement two. God cannot give less than what he has. There is no probability. Reason is, God cannot give you what he doesn't have. And God cannot give you less than himself. Are we together? I trust this is already going home for somebody. God cannot give what he doesn't have, and God cannot give you something that is less than himself. That therefore means that if God has eternal life, he cannot give you temporal life. If God cannot give less than what he has, and God cannot give you what he doesn't have, that means if God has eternal life, and he said, I am giving you life, what God is giving to you is eternal life. Because he cannot give something apart from himself. He cannot give something that is less than himself. And he cannot give you what he doesn't have. So, if God gives you life, he gave you eternal life. Are we together? And God cannot give you a substance apart from himself. So, of the same substance that God is, God takes from his river of eternal life and gives to you. Are we together? He's giving you the substance that him is made of. Shebi, we used to say God is eternal. And if God gives you life, what has he given to you? So from the onset, it hasn't been God's desire or even ability to give you what he is less than. How do I say? From the onset, God has not determined to give you something that's less than himself. God has always intended to give man the kind of quality of life that God is. Are we together? Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. He came that you should have life. Now, for me, the crux of this scripture is not just having life. He came that they may have life. Not just have life. And that they may have that life more abundantly. So, the word abundantly in the Greek, it means something that's reckless, overflowing, that knows no bound. The word is over and above. That's the meaning of abundant. It is a word called perizos in the Greek. It is beyond what is anticipated. It is all around, exceeding expectation. That's the word. So God did not just give you life. What God gave to you is abundance. It's plenty that you cannot quantify it. He gave you life that is exceeding, the life exceeded your expectation. What you could ever think of, the life that God gave you beats your imagination. God did not just give you small something, take hold. No. He gave you life. The word is to be over and above. The word, it exceeds the expected measure. That kind of life, that's the kind of life that God came to give you. The life that exceeds the measure that you can think of. That's the kind of life that God has given you. Life more than what was expected. And and if you can argue that kind of life, there's a problem. Oh. If you can just start to think, am I really safe? Am I sure I have the life of God? There's a big problem. I said we are chatting, right?
Yes, sir.
There's a big problem. There's a big problem. Because you cannot afford to doubt that type of life. You cannot. You cannot, you cannot, you cannot. Even if people are whispering things to your ear, even the law people are telling you, no. You cannot afford to argue that the life God gave to you is not something that beats your imagination. You cannot. He gave you so much life that you cannot think of. So Jesus came in order that the believer might continuously have life. Even that they may continuously have it all round. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Then if you can doubt this type of love, that life that is all round, life that's more than enough, this kind of life that is above and beyond, you can doubt it. So one of the fundamental things about a believer is the assurance of your salvation beyond probability. You need to know that you are saved beyond probability. You need to know that your salvation is not being used to play gambling. You're not afraid of whether the odds are high or they are low. No, that's not for your salvation. That's not for your salvation. Your salvation is not used for gambling. Put two to get five. No. Are we together? So your salvation is not something that you need to doubt. You need to be certain that your salvation, you have eternal life, which is assurance beyond probability. So a son of God does not say, how am I saved? No, a child of God doesn't say that. Oh, I messed up yesterday. I messed up today. How am I sure I'm saved? And your heart began to beat. Like when you hear those people preaching in the morning, are you in that number? But wait, I want to ask. What happened that all the people that are preaching are always my best friend? They don't know how to sing. Because I've not heard any of them singing with sweet voices. Like, are you in that number? Save our hearing. And your heart start to race. Am I sure? Am I really saved? Am I sure I'm in the right place? Am I sure this? Am I? No. For the believer, no. Because Paul said, Jesus, in fact, first, you don't even need to be afraid of that. One. Jesus, when he was preaching the gospel, he did not preach like that. As you are entering that car, as you are traveling, as you are afraid to travel, what happened if that car jammed? And some imagine Jesus coming to say that, as you are entering that chariot and that horse from Jericho to Bethlehem, and the horse some assemble, where will you spend your eternity? We have never seen anywhere in scripture that's how the gospel was preached. So in the first place, when you start to hear that, no, that is not the gospel. Because if it brings fear, it is not the gospel of Christ. Somebody is making you doubt your salvation. Somebody is making you feel guilty. Somebody is condemning you. That is not the gospel of Christ. The truth of, the word of God is the word of God. Irrespective of how it has been torn. So just open your heart. Let your spirit be open and receive. Ask God. Give me your real word. And you see, because the scriptures are very clear. Paul stood in front of Agrippa when he was defending about this resurrection. He was defending eternal life. And he spoke so well. Agrippa said, hey, you almost convinced me. Paul did not go to say, today you must believe. No. In fact, if you read that Act 26 down, you see that Agrippa said, I think in the last verse of Acts 20, it says that if he has not appealed to Caesar, would have set him free. Because Agrippa said, you almost convinced me to be a Christian. Just imagine it was in our day and time. Hallelujah. We have not seen any such instance in the scripture. So you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Is somebody following me? You don't need to be afraid. Of course, God wishes that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth according to 2 Peter 3:9. And of course, in 2 Timothy. Please, let's see 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God. But he has not done this, going about forcing people and choking them down on your truth. You must be repent or your head will be chopped off. God did not do that. God did not do that. So when you hear that microphone passing through your street, be confident that yes, my salvation is so I have in God. And then when you hear that, you keep remembering, I did something yesterday. Your heart skip. You start to doubt. You know what, Lord? I've done something wrong. Just as I am without one plea. What heart do they sing that song? What shed for me? You keep coming. You keep coming. You keep coming. You keep coming. You never get to where you're going to. How long are you going to keep? How long? You keep coming every day. Every day. Then that means some of our parents are better than God. Because if they promise you something, the next time if they promise you money, they will give to you. You messed up. Your father did not stop paying your school fee. Draw me nearer, bless the Lord. Every time there are to your precious bleeding side. See, there is no more bleeding side. There's no side that is still bleeding, no. There's no side that is still, there's no bleeding side anymore. If you are still seeing a bleeding side, those are thoughts in your head. And that's a thought that the scripture says we should fight again. We wrestle not again flesh and blood. Every time you keep seeing thoughts in you, just see. Once the sacrifice was once, please, it is English. I did not study English. I speak my language more. But scripture says once and for all. So if there's a bleeding side, how is that once and for all? Scripture would have said there's a continuous bleeding side. Scripture did not say continuous, but he said once and for all, he has offered that sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice. And every time you keep coming. No. Don't let somebody plant things in your heart. You are saved eternally. Don't doubt your salvation. Don't doubt God. Don't. You can doubt me if I promise you something. You can doubt your parents if he promise you something. But if God has given you his promises, hearken to him. Don't. Eternal life. Assurance beyond probability. I believe God, though. Don't know who else, but I believe God. Hallelujah. Is anyone following? So give my life to Christ. So Pav asked, what kind of salvation do you have? There's no probability in the gospel. As a believer, you are either saved or you are saved. See, as a believer, as far as you have believed, you are either saved or you are saved. There's nothing like you are either saved or unsaved. No. as a believer, you are either saved or you are saved. There's no probability in the gospel. There's no probability in the salvation. God did not give your salvation for it to be used as football. Pass to me. Pass to this one. Pass to number seven. No, 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 no. Your salvation, he gave it instantly. Take it when you believe. If God does that, it's a fraud of a God. You can trust me better. So you are either saved or you are saved. The gospel believed, listen to this statement. The gospel believed is the finality of assurance for the believer. The gospel believed is the finality of assurance for the believer. The gospel believed is the finality of assurance for the believer. So if you believe the gospel, that is all the work you need to do for salvation. If you believe the gospel, that is all the work you need to do for salvation. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Not the pastors, not anyone. Jesus himself answered and said to them. Remember, they asked him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of the Father?" Jesus replied, "This is the work, that you believe in whom he has sent." That is the work for salvation. Believe. Believe. That is the work of salvation. I want to do the work of God. I want to do the work of ministry. Believe. That's all you need. Believe. Paul said, being in the choir is not working for God. Sanctuary keeper, you're not working for God. Protocol department, you're not working for God. Crowd control unit that never hears of them stop. In fact, evangelism, preaching for the lost. You're not working for God. That's not the work. The work of God is in knowing and in confessing from a place of rest. It is so simple, it can pass off as passive. Work of God is so simple, it can pass off as passive. If you're not careful, believe. Believe. See, you know how we used to read Paul and Silas, how they prayed, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. And we don't follow that story to the end. The man that wanted to kill himself and they said, "Don't kill yourself." At the end of it, when they told him that we are alive, he took Paul and Silas to their house and asked him, "What shall I do to be saved?" They told him, "Believe." And he was immediately baptized when he believed. It's belief. Now, the problem with life and the whole Christianity thing is, you don't trust it if it is simple. That's the problem we have. So preachers every day keep trying to get things to make you feel like they're speaking. They keep trying to open portals, realms. No. The gospel is simple. We try to make it sound deep. The algorithm of faith and all the rest of that, this thing. Yes, now you hear things as unveiling the mysteries that has been hidden. You have to picture the future that we just need to sound deep. No, it is not that deep. I've said if you want to sound deep, go to the well. Go on this side. Start to preach from there. We can. Oh, you are deep, sir. The gospel is simple. You want to work for God, believe him who has sent. In other words, walking the work of God, culminate in believing Christ. That is all you need to do. And once you have believed, you have worked the works of God. Everything else you do is not the work. Everything else you do, it is a consequence of the work that you have believed. Everything else you do comes from the outflow of the first work you have done. That is believing. Did somebody get that? Okay. Let me read what I wrote here. In the light of salvation, our works are not required. So, the reckoning of our faith will never be on the basis on how much we did for God, apart from believing. Do you get that? In the light of Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, NLT. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Verse 9. See the next verse. Please, everybody, read. So you see why I said it is simple and it can pass off as passive. It's not a reward for the good things you have done. I lived 35 years unborn as a virgin. I sold all my properties I gave to the poor. I do this. I've never stolen. Not saved if you did not believe. Titus 3, 4 to 7. NKJV. But when the kindness and the love of our God, love of God as Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Whom he poured out on us abundantly. You see the word again? Yes. He poured it above and beyond. Yes. Beyond measure. Beyond. He poured it all round. By his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Eternal life. Assurance beyond probability. Are we communicating?
Yes,
so I continue by saying, now in the faith, having believed, and we have received the Holy Spirit of adoption, there are works fitting for salvation, upon which our reward is based on them. Do you get that? You know, currently we are undergoing a series, Kingdom Culture, and Paul spoke a little on eternal reward system. And you hearing me telling you that salvation is not works, before you get it confused, I'm not talking about your eternal reward system. In fact, if you have not believed to first of all have eternal life, how will you have... You have not believed. You don't have eternal life. You expected eternal rewards. Eternal reward system, Bao. So don't confuse that. Is that all right? So now we have believed and we have received the spirit of adoption. These are works fitting for salvation upon which our reward will be based. Are we together? Pav said, and I quote this one from Pav. Say, works not to get in or impress God for salvation, but works done by believers in Christ towards eternal reward. Ephesians chapter 2. You know that in that Ephesians 2, we read verse 8 and stopped at verse 9. Let's see verse 10. I like it in the NKJV. See what the scripture said. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are what? That what happened? So you will do good works. Yes. Good works are not a prerequisite for your salvation.
Yes,
but you do good work because you are saved.
Yes, sir.
Because you are saved. Because you are saved. Philippians 2:13. 12. Philippians 2:12. Oh, I would like that. I would like to read it in the TLB first so you understand the works I'm talking about. I like to get that in TLB. You know, this is one of the scriptures that they have used to bamboozle us. You know, they don't start the scripture from the beginning, no. They don't care what the beginning of the scripture is. Hey, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Are we together? So I'm going to read Philippians 2:12. Hear what Paul was saying. Dear friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I am away, you must be even more careful to do the things that result from being saved. Doing the things that result from being saved is working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You must even be more careful to do the things because you're being saved. There are works that result. So do the works. They're not telling you work out your salvation with fear and trembling so you'll be saved. No. Want to obey him and then helping you to do what he wants. Let's see TPT, verse 12 and 13. My beloved ones, just like you have always listened to everything I have taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instruction as though I were there with you. Now, you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. Verse 13. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. So even the works that you are asked to do, you are not totally left on your own. It is him. It's planting within you what will help you do the work. In fact, if you want to understand this verse, Pav explained it in CCB part 1. Pav took time to explain the scripture there. So just go and listen to it. Is that all right?
Yes,
sir. Is that all right? Let's just see NLT, verse 12. Let's see NLT also. Dear friends, you have always followed my instruction when I was there with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the result, you hear, of your salvation. Not work hard to show to show result of you. No. It's not, you're not working hard to show result that will make you to be saved. No. It's a result out of the outflow of the salvation you have. You work out. That's why we're talking about eternal reward system. Again, like the name sounds, eternal reward system. You want to have eternal reward. You are not eternal. Again, this, and I will show you my faith with works. Was Abraham not justified by works when he was asked to offer, and your stomach start to run? No. You have to understand what James was talking about. He wasn't talking about works for salvation. He was talking about works from salvation. Your brother is hungry, coming from that. It's actually James 3 from verse 1. And your brother said, I'm hungry, I don't have clothes to wear. And you say, go, be filled. What have you done? And you claim you have salvation. And your freezer is fully stocked. You have food. You say, go and be filled. That's what James was talking about. James was literally telling you to put your mouth where you believe. You cannot be saying, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. No, do it, show us. Are we together? So everything else you do is not work. They are the outflow of your believing. They are the consequences of your believing. You must go out for evangelism. You must usher. You must this. We abandon the real thing that we were supposed to do and build altars and build ministries around the things that result from your being saved. Are we together? That's the problem. Because you have to believe first. So the work is belief. The work is belief. Everything else you do, giving, working in church, preaching, doing all of these are consequences or fall out, flows out of what you have believed. Hallelujah. And then now in organized religion, we work in this. We are hoping that instead of doing the real work that is believing and get eternal life, we are hoping that working the things that result from being saved will bring us eternal life. No, they will not. Worship is not complete. I am messed up 3 times. And that will start to bring fear and uncertainty. That will start to bring fear and uncertainty. Last year, I didn't pay my tithe 3 times. And we are running. Now, of course, this is the end of the year. They will keep reminding you, balance your books with God, though. Don't pay your tithe, you not go to heaven. No, balance your books with God, though. And your heart start to race. And moreover, now we are in December. They will now create a spirit of Imbamon that only exists in Africa and in Nigeria. Imbamon doesn't exist anywhere outside Africa and Nigeria. There's no spirit of Imbamon. Paul said, fix all the bad roads. Remove all the checkpoints and get the road clear. You see, people will. Because see, if some Nigerians leave Nigeria today, they will not be believers again. Because when you go there, all the things you pray for, they are sorted by other countries. You will not pray. So, and Pam make a joke that each time I get to this, the joke always cracks me up. Like, so you're traveling, for instance, you're traveling from here to Kaduna because of the bad road. You cover the road from Calabar to Kaduna with the blood of Jesus. You soak the entire bus with the blood of Jesus. As if that's not enough, you now sprinkle the blood in the tires and the engine. You drive from here, you get to Itu Bridge. And the car, cook. What do you expect? Cars doesn't run by blood. It runs by oil. And now you have soaked the entire engine and everything with the blood. What do you expect? And when you get there, you start to say, arise, O Lord, your enemy. You are the enemy. You're the enemy. You're the enemy. There's no, you're the enemy. And then if you're a diehard prayer warrior, you start to sing, I plead the blood, the blood. It is the blood that's not making that car to move. Oh. You start to plead it again. How does blood help a moving engine? Blood that paid for my sins once and for all. You still have it to soak engine. Hey, you're a legend. You're a legend. Are we together? So you feel like you're not doing enough. The more I do, the more I am assured of my place in the kingdom. That is not work. You have neglected the work, and the work is to believe. Hallelujah. The simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is not hard, though. The gospel is not complex. The gospel is simple. And that is belief. That's how you get to salvation. Are we together? And now, because of that, you understand why it is difficult to believe. That is why Jesus called it work. It is simple. It is not difficult. Because by the time you finish the work, now, this is why it looks difficult in our time now. By the time you finish working, you know we are used to suffering. It's eternal life we are talking about here. No. Believe. It's not a feeling. It's not emotion. It's not sentiment. You see, you believe today, your life is still the same. You go to the, it changed in God. You know, you still go and sleep in your same house. You eat the food that you left in the morning. You meet your brothers and sisters. You, in fact, if you don't have borehole, that place you used to go and fetch water, you still go and fetch water there. But we make it feel like believing has, you have to come to Pious City and do the, no. That's fear. That's fear. Are we together? So it is so simple. You know, a general in the army who had servants and people, and he was leprous. And one of his servants told him that there's a prophet in Israel that can help you with this, your leprosy. And when he heard that, he told the people, let us go. And they got to his servant, and his servant, and got to the prophet. Long story cut short. And this prophet just asked him, go and dip yourself 7 times in the river. And the guy was like, is that all what he will ask me to do? He did not even come out to give me a warm welcome. He did not even come out to do anything, just to go and soak myself. In fact, in Jordan, Ampaf explained that Jordan is not even a good river. The water is very dirty and the rest. Jordan, of all good rivers in Syria, where I came from, Jordan, I'm not going. The servant came and spoke to him. If this man has asked you to do something more difficult, you for don't grieve. You for no ask questions. 2 Kings, verse 13. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he say to you, wash and be clean? Because this man was, he's a general, of course, in the army. He's used to big works. And Paul said, right there and then, you will see that that's salvation through faith, not of works. Because if you understand leprosy, go and listen to UTG. You see it in I think, Leviticus 13. UTG, I can't remember the exact part, series 1. Paul took time to explain this leprosy and sin. So what Naaman had on him was sin personified. So when he dipped himself into the water, the washing of water by the word. Naaman, who was sin personified, encountered the washing of the water and became clean just by doing the mundane things. The most basic thing as believing. He had salvation. He came into salvation. But we are measuring how much of assurance we have based on how much work we did or we've done. Are we together? So right there, you see that salvation cannot come by work. Salvation can only come by believing, apart from works. Let's see Colossians 1. God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21. This includes you. Are you getting me? By Christ's blood on the cross, God made peace with everything and reconciled everything to himself, including you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Verse 22, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That is good news. But see what verse 23 said. If there was a way from the assurance you have received when you heard the good news. The good news has now been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, have been. Let's leave the entire verse. If there was a condition, the condition is you continue to believe in this truth. Don't have to drift away from this assurance. Salvation only comes by works. Believing. Salvation only comes by what?
Believing.
By believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting anything? So at the end of the year, you can check your book and say, ha, my balance is heavy, so I think I can make heaven. And that's the reality of many believers. We've left the work. We are following the outflow of the work. Something that we should be doing this because we are saved. Because we are believers, we should be doing this. You have left believing. You have to believe first. Too. When you believe first, you have eternal life. And you can talk about eternal reward system. Here, you are not a tighter. You are not this. You are not that. Hey, Papa Vicoli said, he gave us a story here that they said angel came to choir practice with somebody's baby who has been barren for 10 years. And because the person was not there, the angel went back with that baby. See, that angel needs to be fired. You are my servant. You don't get sense to come meet me for house. Say, because I did not come choir practice. You are fired. Or you wait for me. You will wait there with that baby till as I'm coming on Sunday in the morning. You say, hey, this is your baby. No. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you do not believe, you are self-condemned. Is that all right? Yes. God does not even have the capacity since Christ came to condemn anybody. Are we together? And because God cannot give what he doesn't have, that's why he has not given us the ministry of condemnation. Are we together? Because God doesn't know what it means to condemn since the cross. You too, you cannot know what it means to condemn. Yes, because God gave you eternal life now, right? So you cannot condemn another person either. Even if your brother is doing something that's not good, no. Just hope that the understanding you have come into, your brother too will come into it. God cannot give you what he doesn't have. If you as a believer, you have the ministry of condemnation, it means you got it from your father, who in himself have condemnation. Are we together? Okay. So as a son of God, you cannot condemn, even if you wanted to, because it is not in your spiritual DNA. Condemnation is not in your spiritual DNA. Because he is in whose image you are becoming. NLT. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So if your father was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, was not condemning anybody, you too, you cannot condemn anybody. You cannot. We have not seen that from the scriptures. So when there's condemnation in the world, it is self-inflicted on the account of unbelief. When there's condemnation in the world, it is self-inflicted on the account of unbelief. John chapter 5:24 NLT. I tell you the truth, those who listen to the message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. So this means that those who listen to this my message and refuse to believe in God who sent me do not have eternal life. Am I communicating? They will always be condemned for their sins. The other one said, those who believe will never be condemned for their sins. But those who do not believe, they will be condemned for their sin. And they are still there too. They have not passed from death to life. That's why to be carnally minded is dead. God did not condemn you. Hallelujah. Same scenario. Moses lifted up the serpent after the people have complained in Israel. And you say, hey, I'm here, the fierce snake. I know agree, look am. And serpent bite you, you go die. Is it God that killed you? No. See, lift your eyes. If you're bitten by the snake, look at the bronze serpent that was made. And you say, no, God, that the fierce Moses. No, show me snake. No, show me snake. What's it gonna kill you? So look upon the snake. No. Ta, I don't like snake. At that point, anybody who died, it wasn't God who killed him. The gospel belief is the finality of assurance for the believer. The gospel belief is the finality of assurance for the believer. Is that statement very clear? God gave your salvation without your participation. So you have no part to play in getting saved. See, if you believe that a child does not have participation in getting born, and you cannot believe that you don't have participation in being saved, the problem they will. It is a righteous man that will fall 7 times. It is not an unbeliever. Unbeliever is not even standing. Unbeliever is not even standing, let alone falling. I don't understand. What are you falling from? It's a righteous man that falls 7 times and rise again. It's a righteous man. So don't measure your sonship by what you are saying. No, you miss it. Don't measure your sonship by what you're saying. Are we together? Yes, see, you are a child in the hands of God. Let God bother about your matter. Let God be concerned. Oh, my pikin never chop. Oh, my reason. No. It should not be in your place to doubt. Am I really a son of God? No. Let God bother about your matter. Let God bother about your matter. My child has school fee to pay. I'll pay it. House rent my child has to pay, I'll pay it. God is telling you, I will take care of you. You do, leave me. Are we communicating?
Yes, sir.
You were born. You start to learn the language where you are from. You start to understand consciously who they say your father is.
Yes, sir.
The kingdom that you are from. Your royalty. Both the royalty and the peasant. Use the toilet. But if you keep using the pit toilet, as you grow up, you know that, no, I'm a royalty. I should use the toilet with the golden ring. I cannot be using the pit toilet. As you grow, are we together? That's when all the consciousness series came to play. The Christ conscious believer. You understand who you are. You understand who you are. Because now, you are coming into the consciousness of whose you are. You don't have any part to play to keep it. You can only try to keep it if you participated in getting it. But you have no part to play in getting it. You have no part to play keeping it. Don't confuse your engagement in the local church with your sonship guaranteed. Don't. If you have no part to play to get it, you do not have any part to play to keep it. Are we together? You did nothing to earn it, and you do nothing to keep it. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to keep it, and you will do nothing to lose it. You cannot, because there's no clause for you to lose your salvation. There's no clause for you. You cannot see him and you look away. You cannot. You cannot see Jesus and you successfully look away. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot successfully. You saw Jesus and you can successfully look away. No, you did not see Jesus. You did not see Jesus. You did not. You saw a form of godliness. You did nothing to get it. You will do nothing to keep it. And boy, you will do nothing to lose it. Assurance. The assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. If there was ever assurance in the fact that I did nothing to earn it, I do nothing to keep it, this is assurance, is I will do nothing to lose it. That is the only assurance you need beyond probability. I'm not going to make it to heaven that I am already in. Oh, heaven. Wait. I just remember that junction that my father used to get to. Yes, in context, heaven is in your heart. Not the heaven that Jesus ascended to. That one is not in your heart, too. The throne of God is not in your heart, too. But in context that he has given you the seal of the Holy Spirit that guarantees that at the end of the day, I'll make it to heaven. That's the heaven that is in my heart. Not the one that Jesus ascended to. I'm bearing the words of my father. Jesus did not ascend to your heart, too. Uh-huh. The throne of God is not in your heart, too. It's not. The right hand of the Father. It's not your right lungs. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. This heaven that's in your heart is what Colossians 1:27 will say, that Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is it. This is it. This is it. Are we together? So Jesus came to give you eternal life. The word there is Zoe, which means existence. It means life, and the life that gives life. Zoe is life, and not just life. That life is the life that gives life. Are we together? Existence and the power that energizes the existence. That is Zoe. It is not just life as in existence. It is what causes existence to exist. The source of existence. That's Zoe. Are we together? And God gave you Zoe because he is Zoe. And he is the Zoe behind the Zoe. He is not just giving you something that he has that life. And you who is in time based in the flesh and expect that you keep the eternal life by your works. You only have time. Oh. And God cannot put the whole eternal life into your hand. You go crash him like before you reach that Dupani Junction. Don't press Paul. Are we together? So God gives you eternal life. No beginning, no end. Something only God can sustain. God did not just give you eternal life. After he gave you, he is the one behind your eternal life. Are we together? So he decides to give you eternal life and you have remaining 40 years on the earth. You say, now this eternal life is hinged on all the works you do in your remaining 40 years. No, you cannot sustain it. Humans cannot support eternal life. Human existence cannot support eternal life. Are we together? In this time base, you cannot. You cannot. Because the life of God is eternal, and only eternal can sustain eternal. Only everlasting can sustain everlasting. That is why it is God's duty to preserve you. It is his duty to preserve you. Because the natural, the time base cannot preserve the eternal. So we have been deceived to believe that eternal life is a function of what we do in time. No. 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 Then God should have given you temporal life. Or should have given you a time-based life. Are we together? Are we together? But the moment you believed, the moment that you believed, God gave you eternal life. And that eternal life, he did not give you it on probation. You know probation, you go to look for a job, they will say after 6 months, we confirm your appointment. So God did not give you life. And say, let me see how well you manage this life for the next 6 months. Then we can confirm you. No, that's not what God did. God is not your, what is it called? Your employer. Hallelujah. 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 He didn't wait for you to wait for 6 months before you can confirm it. He wrote one test. All of eternity was summoned into one exam. This is Christ. One question. This is the exam eternity wrote. This is Christ. Do you believe? Option A, yes. Option B, no. And you take option A, you have eternal life. And you wrote that exams from the beginning, no, so that you not be, this is not your school exam that you wait to write at the end. This one you wrote from the beginning. From the beginning. This is, there's no opportunity to, you behave anyhow in school, you will drop you out. No. You have passed, you are passed. So it was not performance based. Wasn't performance based. You tick yes, you have result. It is believing based. And you see that exams, like I said, you wrote it from the beginning. Hallelujah. So God did that to take away every ambiguities from the very beginning. So you know the destination. And you know that you are guaranteed. So now you have been given eternal life. You now start all your journey knowing that you have eternal life. Are we together? Yes, you have been given eternal life. You now start your life understanding eternal life. You are living in time what you should live in eternity. For a little while. Are we together? So that's the little capsule that God gave to you. So when you see us worship as crazy as we do, we log in into a portal. You should learn to worship. You are showing God that it's like, be like, say, this eternal life you give me, that mistake you do. Because we squeeze everything in it. That's a little portal of eternity that was open in time now. So we stay in the place of worship and we gather everything. We suck all the experience. We know that, oh, when we get there, this is what we will be doing. So if we are worshiping and you are not worshiping, you are not wise. You are very, very unwise. You are very, very unwise. It's a privilege for us to open one part of something in time now. One part of what we'll be doing. Hey, I will give everything for it. Because that's the best we can do. And Paul said that our best is the least that God deserves. So if I can give my best hand in worship, and that's the least my God deserves, so I will try to do everything. And when you see some other person in worship, you say, "Ha, you too like spirit." So when you decide not to be governed by the system of this world, but be governed by the system of God, what you have stepped into is eternity in time. So you know that at the end of time, we'll be doing this for eternity. That's why the kingdom of God was, the kingdom of God is, and it is to come. And because it was, and it is, because it could come. It is to come because it was. It is to come because it was. It was because it is. It was because it is to come. And it is to come because it first came, or it first was. What did God put in Eden? The kingdom, the governments, the system of God. That's God put eternity. In Eden. That's what started time. So was the kingdom in effect before it came to earth? Yes, it was. Lord's Prayer, our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Are we together? So the idea was that Eden was... Now, if you listen to UTG Series 1, Paz took time to explain this. Eden was a portion of heaven on earth. So the idea was as man grows, Eden would have expanded to, along with man. Eden was supposed to expand to cover the entire system. Are we together? Are we together? Hence, if you listen to that teaching, you hear, because now, man disconnected himself from being reconciled to God, right? So you hear the aim of the gospel as, what's the aim of the gospel? As taught in UTG Series 1. The aim of the gospel is to reconcile man back to God and establish his kingdom on the earth through the lordship of Jesus Christ and the instrumentality of a man. Reconciliation to God and his kingdom is very important. Two, domination of the earth as his kingdom. So you get right. So it has always been about kingdom. Is that okay? So that's what God gave us. Hallelujah. So the earth was a system of glory and governance. That's eternity. That's what came to earth. That's why till today you cannot find it. So eternal life takes eternal support. Say that to your neighbor. If God is eternal, then his life is the same as him. That means his life is eternal, which means his life is eternal, and eternal God cannot give you an eternal life. If an eternal life is what you have or you got from God, the God you got it from is not eternal.
And that God owes you some more. That God owes you some more. So God gives you eternal life. And what you do in time now, is not what your eternal life is based on or is measured by. Are we together? So the works you are doing now are not what qualifies you for eternal life or measures your eternal life. Are we together? Everybody's alive now, right? I want to believe that everybody's alive. We were all living before Jesus came now. So the eternal life that God has just gave you the existence. And then Jesus now came and gave you the real existence. Are we together? In other words, you do not need Jesus to be alive or to die. Because every human being has the gift of existence. Are we together? So what God came to give you was not basic existence. You already had that. Are we together? You already had that. You were eating, you were sleeping, you were doing everything. But you were a dead person. Are we together? You were a dead person. You were a dead person. You were a dead person. So Christ did not die for you. Again, you were getting your first class and getting all the things. You were dead. So Christ did not die for you to get first class. Oh, by all means, get your first class. In fact, if you're a believer and you are with people in your class and people are smart to you, you're not a very serious believer. Are we together? Because you have the Holy Spirit as your advantage. So Jesus did not come to give you a substance apart from himself. Jesus came to give you himself. So you have eternal life. You have eternal life. And this eternal life is not contingent on what you do. Are we together? It's not because you did not do something. Like Paul said in one of the statements, that holiness is not apart from sin. I know that's a big statement, but holiness is being called out, be separated to. You're called. The cups in the Old Testament were used to serve wine in the temple, or were used to serve stuff. God said they were holy. So what did they do? They did nothing. They did nothing. So you have eternal life. Are we together? You did not work righteousness to attain eternal life. In fact, because he has given you righteousness, that's what eternal life came with. You did not have to work. You did not have to suffer. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. So that means the moment you believe, eternal life comes to you. The Holy Spirit comes to seal everything. So that's why you cannot lose eternal life. Are we together? And who is this Holy Spirit? It's Christ Jesus. Romans 8 said it, verse 9. So what did you believe? Before you answer, the question is, who did you believe? Question is, who did you believe? That's eternal life beyond probability. So as I leave you all your faces, if you don't mind, I just like you to be on your feet and say this word after me. I have eternal life.
I have eternal life.
I am assured of it.
I am assured of it.
Beyond probability.
Beyond probability.
I am not performing for it.
I am not performing for it.
I am performing from it.
I am performing from it.
I am not manifesting to attain it.
I have attained it.
He is the true God.
And his son Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Can somebody give God praise?
Well, that's it for today's teaching. We trust it has been worth your time. For more of these messages from our stables, kindly subscribe to our teaching podcast at www.thebasileacommission.podbean.com or via the Podbean app on your mobile device. For inquiries and further information, kindly send us an email to info@thebasileacommission.org or find us on social media with the handles @thetruthsimplyput or @wahthechurch. You can also send us an SMS, call us, or connect with us via WhatsApp on +234 70 881 8864. Finally, if you would like to give to support the work that we do, kindly follow the Patreon link in our podcast or contact our office for details. Thank you.